How about the 3-1 New York football Giants? Saquon Barkley with another big-time performance. Daniel Jones, Danny Dimes rushes for 2 touchdowns, and the defense steps up big and dominates the Bears. But is there some sort of cause for concern after a few in-game injuries? We're going to break it down on another victory edition of the Blue Rush podcast from the New York Post, presented by Tri-State Cadillac Dealers.
Play action again. More good ball handling from Jones. Room to run. There goes Daniel Jones. Touchdown, Giants. Play action. Room to roam again. An easy trot into the end zone for Jones. Drives Velus Jones back inside the 35. He lost it. It's loose. And the Giants got it. Ebner throws it back. A loose ball. And that'll finish it. Dane Belton falls on top of it to finish this game off.
All right, I want to welcome you guys to another episode of the Blue Rush Podcast. You know what? The 3-1 episode of the Blue Rush Podcast. The first time the Giants have been 3-1 since 2011. I am Brandon London. I am joined by 2-time Super Bowl champ who's been around in 2011. Lawrence Tynes, and we got New York Post Giants beat writer Paul Schwartz with us. This episode is presented by Tri-State Cadillac Dealers. Go ahead and get you a Cadillac, guys. Visit your Cadillac showroom today. A lot of y'all made money off this game. Again, the Giants are 3-1 after a 20-12 win over the Chicago Bears. We got a lot to talk about in this episode because the injuries piled up. Daniel Jones ran for 2 TDs. Saquon Barkley, 146 yards rushing. And the defense, Wink, we see you, baby. 6 sacks on the day. The energy was out of control at MetLife Stadium. Once again, I've never been around for a 3-1 Giant. So LT, jump right in, man. And just what was it like? What was it like watching from the TV? Moose Johnson, he wasn't hating like Troy Aikman was hating.
No. I actually like Moose calling the games. It was a weird game for me to watch. A bunch of weird things happen. There was no passing. Like we said earlier in the week, guys, Army versus Navy. It looked a lot like that for the first half. I mean, it was just run the ball, run the ball, run the ball. You never apologize for winning in the NFL.
No.
The Giants are 3-1. I have no idea how the hell they're 3-1, but they're 3-1. And obviously they got a tough game coming up, but they should enjoy this one. It's tough to win in this league. And the Bears were not a very good team. And they won a game they should have won, but weird game. Weird game. Injuries, no forward passing of the football. It was just ugly.
You know, they were wearing their throwback jerseys, right, from the 1980 to 99 era, which are nice uniforms, you know. It ends
very
up
nice. Nice.
This was a, you know, they're wearing their throwbacks, and this was a throwback Giants Bears, but to like what, 1938 or something like that, right?
Yeah.
They ended the game, or close to end of the game, with Saquon Barkley playing quarterback. I mean, it was an amazing thing. You activate 2 quarterbacks, 2 quarterbacks get hurt. You know, I don't think I've seen that. And it was just, you know, they got a field goal on that drive with Saquon Barkley running the Wildcat. And, you know, Saquon Barkley, you know, we have to give this guy, you know, I mean, look, we've been doing a podcast for a few years, and Saquon's been hurt and he's been running into the line. He's been, you know, he's been having some bad games. But, you know, anybody who says we should trade this guy, we should get draft picks for this guy, you know, he doesn't belong on the team next year. I mean, what are they watching? I mean,
who's saying that, Paul? Who is saying that?
There's a lot of fans.
A lot of Giants Twitter. Twitter.
And you know, I'm sorry. You know, I mean, look, he was the second pick in the draft. That's over. You know, that's over. You have to look at him as a ball player. He was something. He was funny. You know, he said, I saw Tyrod go down. And then it's like, he said, I waited. I said, oh, wait a second. I'm the next man up. And then he kind of paused and said, I'm the quarterback. I'm the quarterback, you know. He came in, you know, and he said, you know, it's just like, you know, as an 8-year-old running around out there. Brian Daboll said he actually got a grease board. Do you guys even know what a grease board is? Lawrence, were there grease boards on the sidelines when you were playing?
Yeah, they had them, but obviously we never had to use them. I know I heard that Saquon said they were drawing plays up on the sideline.
Wow. The offensive line coach, Bobby Johnson, and Daboll, you know, were from Buffalo together, and he said they were talking about things and things that they did. They had some things in the game already. Look, the Wildcat is a package. They haven't used it yet this year. As you know, Brandon said, we've seen them do that in training camp with Daniel Jones split out wide. How about this? Daniel Jones is split out wide. He's got a bad ankle. He can't run. If I'm the Bears, I'm not putting a real primetime defender on Daniel Jones. Well, you know, and Saquon said it's just reads. If this guy does this, I do this. If that guy does that, I do that. It's not that easy, but you know, he actually thought Breida was going to break it on one of those plays, on one of those keepers he had. He gave it to Breida. He thought Breida was going to break it.
It was something that we've seen from training camp. And I think, you know, I said this before, like, Paul, it's not like to say it was an insurance policy. I imagine they put that in for short yardage, goal line type formations. But the Giants, 44 carries, 262 yards, is their the highest rushing yardage since they ran for 308 versus Carolina December 21st, 2008. Giants, 44 rushing attempts. The highest total since 44 against Washington back in 2017. But to go back to 26, because I almost feel disrespectful calling him by his name. I have to call him by his number because he's not playing like a person. He's playing like some sort of superhero. And I want to call out Giants Twitter right now. They can at me, leave y'all alone. And there's just this one fan who's always so loud about, oh, the Saquon draft pick is a big blunder and Dave Gettleman this. This is why you drafted him at number 2 overall. He's playing above the X's and O's. So when we're talking about Colin Cowherd, when he was talking about the limitations that Daniel Jones does to this offense and Brian Daboll, and he doesn't play above the X's and O's, Saquon on that third and long on that screen when he got hit, bounced off, Daniel Jones threw a block, he got the first, Daniel Jones scores on that. That's playing above the X's and O's. That's playing as a first-round pick. That's playing as a second pick of the draft. And you're seeing why people were not frustrated in the sense that he was going down, why we were just so – we were so hurt when he went down with injuries. Because last year, the last 2 years when he's been hurt, the offense has been nothing. And it's great to watch him getting the success. And you just hope that he can keep up with this for the entire year.
You know, the offense is almost nothing now without him. The first completion to a receiver was in the last minute of the first half, to David Sills, right? They finished this game with 3 receptions to wide receivers for 25 yards. I mean, that is not what NFL football is all about. Mm-hmm. Handing the ball off to Saquon Barkley, having Daniel Jones, you know, on bootlegs, with the option running for first downs and running for 2 touchdowns and occasionally throwing it to a tight end. I mean, what is this? The 1960s?
Hey, Paul, you know, all these Giants receivers have second jobs. They work at Chick-fil-A. They're not open on Sundays. Chick-fil-A is not open. That's who these guys are. They cannot get open. And listen, the game plan was the game plan early on.
Yeah.
A lot of boots, tight ends, and Saquon. And that's what we talked about last week, getting creative. This week, you know, with the injuries, we'll see what happens.
Well, they did throw one down. You know, they tried to
Slayton.
You know, you've been calling for Slayton. They got a 40-yard pass interference. Slayton,
you called for a 40-yard pass last week. You said he would have it, and there it was, and he dropped it.
But he got the pass interference on it.
He did. He still should have caught the football.
Kenny Golladay got hurt. I mean, look, we can, you know, they won the game, they're 3-1. We can bust on Kenny Golladay all we want, but
yeah, it's not gonna fix anything.
He literally looks like he can't run. You know what I mean? He just doesn't look like he can run out there. It's an amazing thing, and you know, the team is 3-1 with a bunch of receivers like this. You know, Shepard's hurt. I was wondering, Kadarius Toney, if he ever comes out of retirement and plays, if they can count on him, he could be he can throw the ball. You know, Saquon's not going to throw the ball.
Oh, he would be a good Wildcat option.
Right? Yeah. Right? If you can trust him, he can throw the ball. Yeah. And that, I'm sure they have a Wildcat package in for him. He's got to get healthy. I don't know.
I need him back, Paul. I need him back.
Wandale Robinson, too.
Some people, they'll try and take this. Times, they'll try and take it like we're jumping on them. Oh, why are you hating on me? You know how the new age athlete is. Like, you know, it's how social media is. But I don't think Kadarius Toney really understands right now. Again, if your hamstring's banged up, I get that. You got to get right. You got to get healthy. But this is your offense. Like, this is – you are the guy. You are the playmaker in this offense. So while we got the running back who can go for 30-plus carries, that's not sustainable within a full season, 30-plus carries. You're going to need to throw the ball. You're going to need the guy that you can throw a 5-yard hitch to and get us 50. And he's that guy. And watching David Seals, I know he was a fan favorite throughout the preseason. And I root for him because he's an undrafted guy. Obviously, I root for him. This is the opportunity for you. You can't slip against the Cowboys in a key moment like that. And you got to catch that ball from T2, from Tyrod Taylor on that off that RPO, that slant. So it's like when I look at David Seals, I'm looking at him like, you've got a chance to have the career that I wish I had in the NFL, you know? So when I root for him, it doesn't come from a fan. It comes from I need you to catch that ball because this buys you 3+ years in the NFL. You know what I'm saying?
And he doesn't have a lot of leeway, right? He wasn't a highly drafted guy. He's not a Kadarius Toney. And I wonder if Dable envisioned Kadarius Toney as kind of like his Stephon Diggs in Buffalo, but you're talking about an elite route runner who's always available. And that is two things that Kadarius Toney is not.
And look, these guys didn't draft him.
I know.
I don't think they would have drafted him.
All you can think of is the 10 for 189 in Dallas last year.
Yep.
And then the Saints game. Was that a week later? Was that, I don't even remember. But that's what sticks in your mind in terms of talent. But these injuries are far too frequent for somebody. Does he just need to toughen up a little bit and play through a little bit of something? Who knows? I don't know. But you got to have him. If you go to London without Wandell playing and Kadarius Toney, be London, they might call you up. You're the most interesting guy here.
They cut me twice. They're going to call me now?
Well, look at the name. Look at their playing. It's Kismet. That's a good story.
Be London in London.
Yeah.
Against the pack.
I'm going to just stick to this whole TV thing because it's like a little less on the body. But to transition, we're talking about the receiving core and lack thereof.
Oh, it's bad.
Is this a case to get Daniel Jones? I don't want to hear no more talk about Daniel Jones, people piling on this kid. This kid dropped his nuts again. And toughen it out. 2 rushing touchdowns. One thing I loved was how they reverse booted. Instead of booting to his right side, he's a right-handed quarterback. They created, again, it's another thing where Dan Orlovsky was talking about how last year the offensive coordinator, the offensive play calling was not advantageous to this offense. This year you're seeing different schemes, which is allowing them to create space, to get guys open, to get in the tight ends open. Daniel Jones is maybe they don't pay him off this year, but you got to give him some sort of money off of what he's doing with less. You know what I'm saying? Like it's still early, but he's playing like he's Gucci, but with Marshall's receivers. You know what I'm saying? Like,
but don't forget
Gucci versus Marshall's. Love it.
Don't forget though, he might miss a game. You know, he has trouble staying on the field. You know, now that was not a run. He got sacked. He got twisted on a sack. You know what I mean? You know, Tyrod came in. Tyrod looked good. Then he went out. You know, it's a helmet-to-helmet hit. They didn't call it.
Oh, by the way, he sold out to get that first down, by the way. I got to give a lot of preps to him. That was a courageous play for a 12-year vet to come in and make that play, and it sucked. I knew immediately when he turned his head. Obviously, he lost the football, but hopefully he's okay.
Tonzo, do you credit that to the coaching, though? I'm going to get this first down because of the culture and the coaching.
Way different. And obviously, Tyrod Taylor is a competitor. He's been playing in this league a very long time. I thought the offense looked great with him, right? I know I wasn't like a typical fan, like, oh, my God, Tyrod Taylor's coming in. I was like, okay, he's got a nice skill set. He can help this team win. I hated that Daniel got hurt again. It just kind of it's not necessarily going to kill him at the end of the year, but it's just another thing to talk about. Oh, he can't stay healthy. You know, it's just one of those things. He's limping around out there. And he had a hell of – had he have finished that game, you'd have been said, man, that's 2 weeks in a row. This guy has really – put this team on his back. You know, he scored two rushing touchdowns. They couldn't get the ball to receivers. But again, we're talking about him being hurt, and that's never a good thing with a quarterback, right, Paul?
He tried to come back. You know, he said he was on the sideline, and he said, look, I'm good. And Brian Daboll saw him on the side. He said, no, you can't protect yourself. You're not going in the game. Look, he came in. He did come back in the game, and he just handed the ball off. You know what I mean? And I asked Daniel, you know, he said, no, it was hurting. I could not move. No, it was hurting. You know, I don't know if it's a high ankle sprain or not. I don't know. I don't know if you guys saw anything. Daniel wouldn't say
that would
exactly
not be good.
What it was. That would not be good, you know, but it's going to be tough for him. You know, ankle, he's missed games with ankles before. He needs to run. You know, he's a running quarterback. So if he can't run, he can't play. You know, he's not going to sit in the pocket. If he can't run, he can't play.
Yeah. So it's the Davis Webb show. You know, Davis Webb kind of, he knows this offense. He's going to be the next man up. You kind of have to be. I look at Davis Webb as a guy who he hasn't treated himself as a practice squad quarterback. I think of him as a guy who wants that opportunity. And the offensive line is playing better. I think that Green Bay is going to stack that box. They're going to make sure they take Saquon out of the game because that's the only home run hitter on this offense. But for the offensive line, for how they played against Dallas compared to how they played against Robert Quinn and this Chicago Bears front seven and defensive line, it was night and day compared to last Monday. And I don't know what it is. Paul, you were there at Quest Diagnostics the entire week. Like, what did you see in terms of preparation or OG? I like to say OG Bobby Johnson from the song. But well, Coach Bobby Johnson getting these guys prepared, it's like Evan Neal took accountability for the four sacks for last week, but the offensive line played as a unit and they looked night and day.
It's unfortunate that Evan Neal hurt his neck. I walked through the locker room on Monday. You know, Evan Neal, I guess he wears contacts on the field because he wears glasses. You know, he's a big, tall dude. Huge. He's studious wearing glasses. And he walked through the locker room, right? And I kind of nodded, Evan. He was serious. You know, he was ticked off all week. He was serious. You know, this was not, I'm afraid, or, you know, it wasn't all on me. He was like, you know, look, he said he's never been dominated like that in his life. You know what I mean? And you just take one look at him. I imagine in middle school and high school and at Alabama, he was not dominated like that. So he didn't like it. Neck injury. Is he going to be able to come back from that? I doubt it. Glowinski got hurt and came back. The defense didn't give up a touchdown in this game, you know, and you're going to win if you don't give up a touchdown. Julian Love out with a concussion. Aaron Robinson, knee. That's two guys, starting guys in a defensive backfield. That's a tough shot. This was a physical game. You know, it's amazing. I sit up in the press box and it's comfortable. And, I don't hear the hits. You know, it's a different deal. I watch it down there. And some of these games, you go through the game and it's kind of like it's just a regular game. And it's these guys don't get, you know, battered and beaten. Some of these games, man, it's like a body bag, right? Both teams. This was a physical game. This was really physical. They lost a lot of guys in this game. You know, other than the two quarterbacks, they lost a lot of guys. I mean, they're going to fly to London, but I don't, you know, there's going to be a lot of empty seats open. You know, this,
yeah. Paul, maybe you can hop on. And now if you wear glasses, you're considered studious. All right. Great job. Just because you wear glasses, you call an Evan Neal studious, huh, Paul?
Let's talk about this.
Let's get into my lane. Special teams sucked. Now they did get they ended the game.
Big
with
punt.
A terrific play. Massive punt by the Scottish Hammer. But that game was only close, in my opinion, because of the failures of the special teams. And, I mean, you can go to the punter with two touchbacks early. You can go to the Brightwell bringing the kick out, backing up. That's a no-no, right, Brandon?
That's a no-no.
You're backing up, and they're kicking off from closer. It was a disastrous play. And then you've got Richie James with the fumble. That was a huge momentum killer in the game. And then, of course, you know, the autopilot kicker misses kind of like a, I don't want to call it a game ceiling, but it really was, right? With 15, 17 seconds left.
Oh, yeah.
A little bit of a hairy snap there. So the special teams just have not been good. Let's be real. They've made timely plays, right? If you think the Carolina game, opening kickoff fumble, and then a timely play today to end the game. But man, the consistency is not there at all.
How can they be 3-1? It's amazing. They can't throw the ball. They had no pass rush for a couple of weeks. And, you know, you figure this is the kind of thing they're totally on point and buttoned up with their special teams. Now, Graham is a great kicker, but you're right. They lost about 20 yards in field position.
On the holding. Well, they had a holding, and then they had a guy run out of bounds.
Pinnock? Yeah, Pinnock ran out of bounds.
I mean, it's like I don't want to get to, you know, Thomas McGahee is a very, very dear friend of mine.
Yep.
I'm not going to get in on him. But, man, something – these guys are just making mistakes all over the field. And I'm sure that's the number one priority coming into this week against the Packers, because the Packers are not very good on special teams. And that's one advantage we could have. But you're right. If you think about it, we have no interceptions on defense.
Yep. Zero.
We're not very good on special teams. We're not very good on offense. Actually, we're below average. We're poor, and they're 3-1. I don't know if that's the state of the teams they played. I don't know what it is. Timely plays. You know, we don't turn the ball over a lot. I don't know if we're plus or minus, whatever the total number is. It's a weird deal, man.
Didn't you think I liked when Ojulari and Kayvon, you know, the two young edge rushers, combined on a fumble and a recovery. Ojulari, on the second to last play of the game, went out. His calf was bothering him. He said he's going to be okay, but that's the same calf. Kayvon's back tightened up. So, you know, when guys come back from a calf and then they tweak it again, those guys are starting. You can see it now, right? Can't you see it with Kayvon? You can see it start.
I saw him ramping up second half. Yeah. He was really beating his guy. He was getting a little bit of pressure. Of course, that's an elite athlete at quarterback. He's not going to see that every Sunday. I mean, Justin Fields probably was the best athlete on the field. So, and he actually played okay. I mean, he made some big time throws, but the Bears just aren't very good. So
I'm starting to backtrack to go back to the special teams times, but you were talking about missed kick, drop, fumble. Take us through a special teams meeting. Like how much, because again, T-Mac, really good friends of both of ours. How much of it is where T-Mac would be like, hey, this is an ownership from a scheme situation, or we may not have practiced this too. The player has to take his accountability. How much are you seeing in terms of that dynamic, that balance?
Oh, listen, T-Mac is going to get in your know what.
Yep.
In the meeting room. That's just how he is. He's going to love you, and he's going to get in your stuff whenever you mess up. So he'll call you out in front of the whole team. But these are stupid errors. Like, I get the holding error. That's going to happen. Like, that's, you know, you can call holding on every special team, but the running out of bounds, the ball security issue with Richie James, which has typically not been an issue with him. I actually think he's a pretty secure ball carrier, but what else? You know, a little bit of a bad snap on that field goal. And Kreider's had a couple of those this year. Obviously, if you think back to the PAT against the Titans. So who knows? Maybe bring in another snapper. I mean, I know the snapper wears a C on his chest, but you can't have wonky snaps. No wonky snapping.
I just wanted to touch base on that because I don't think people – especially in podcasts, I don't think they break down special teams enough. I think they're just like, oh, special
teams. We talk about it too much here, I guess, according to Paul.
Yeah. To go back to Aziz and Kayvon, where you guys are saying, like being able to watch those guys from the 200s, 300s, when I'm, you know, watching up. Five looks like the fifth overall pick sometimes when he's coming across that edge. Like when he had that rough in the passer, I tweeted, did Ohio State beat Oregon a couple years ago? Because that looked a little personal when he went.
It did. Was a stupid play on his part.
And you saw Dable pointing to his head like, you got to use your brain on that. You got to use your brain. And you didn't see anything else after. You didn't see any – I don't think that he probably had a negative play after that in that sense. And Aziz, you're getting to see – Wink Martindale, take my check, bro. Like, you can have my check. This dude, no touchdowns again. It's another game of a team not scoring a touchdown in the first half, let alone they didn't score the entire game. We talked about what Patrick Graham had to go through last year, holding teams to 13, 17 points. Wink Martindale has this defense playing lights out. Jahad Ward. All these guys.
Wink said it last week. We're just starting to know these guys. Austin Calitro was a starting inside linebacker in week one. Yep. He was a healthy scratch today, right? They try Micah McFadden. Mike, you know, is a starting inside linebacker.
He had a bad play too.
Jalen Smith played better, you know. So Jalen Smith, you know, is maybe he'll start next game. Look, how about Dexter Lawrence? You know, Dexter Lawrence, everyone's been saying, well,
phenomenal game.
He's a good player, but he's not a pass rusher. he ragdolled Fields on one of those plays. You know, he was forceful without Leonard Williams. Maybe Leonard Williams will be back this week in London. I think
he had a great game.
Yeah, so
he had a great game.
Very solid.
Two sacks, three pressures, Paul. Two sacks for Dexter Lawrence, three pressures. That's a hell of a game for a D-tackle.
And for against, like as we said, an elite athlete who's not standing in the pocket. Look, Wink is doing it. It's not with smoke and mirrors, but he is – he's got some issues, you know. He's got Fabian Moreau starting, you know, playing cornerback because Aaron Robinson, you know, who comes back after 2 weeks after having his appendix out, he hurts his knee. There's a lot of mixing and matching out there. You know, this is you can count on one hand the guys who are out there every day for him.
Fabian Moreau.
Yeah, he did. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Yep.
Now, it's against Justin Fields and not Aaron Rodgers. I get that, but athletes are just all confidence. And if he had a good game and he thinks he's going to play good next week, that's what you want in your corners. Listen, this guy catches a lot of heat, especially on social media. Tay Crowder balled today. 11 tackles. What do you have? A sack, two tackles for loss.
Big third down stop.
Say it again. Yeah. Say it again, Ty.
Tay Crowder balled today against the Bears. He gets a lot of slack, and I get it. He is not an elite middle linebacker. He is an NFL football player. I don't know if he's out of position. I don't know if he's an outside guy in a 4-3. I don't know what he is, but I know he can play from time to time. And he had a hell of a game. And Jalen Smith, Dexter Lawrence, the Nick Williams guy, who a lot of people probably didn't even know was on this team, he had a really good game. I thought he played well, too, in the middle of stuff in the run. So kudos to Wink for putting the pieces together. But I definitely want to make sure I shouted out Tay Crowder because he played well. He played really well.
I stopped by Xavier McKinney's locker, though. And he said, we got to get our stuff together for Aaron Rodgers. You know what I mean? Like, you know, they realize what they've been playing and they're not, you know, they're not disrespecting anybody, but they know Mayfield,
Tannehill,
Cooper Rush, Tannehill.
Cooper Rush is the best quarterback they've played against.
Well, okay, maybe he is, but what is that saying?
Today.
Yes. I mean,
Cooper Rush is the best quarterback they played against.
When we looked at the schedule, we said, we don't know what the Giants are, but if they're anything, they could get out to a decent start, not 3-1, maybe 2-2, because the schedule is just not that good. Well, the schedule is really not that good, and they're 3-1, you know? So it's about as well as they could have done. Look, it starts getting real after this, but you know what? 3-1, if they lose next week, they're 3-2. They're okay. You know, look, the division's pretty good. Eagles are the only undefeated team in the league. Cowboys are 3-1, you know, but that's getting ahead of ourselves. You know, the division is the division. The Giants are changing the culture. They got a new coaching staff. They're sorting through a lot of new players. They're trying to figure it out, and they're winning. I didn't think that was going to happen. I thought they would do a lot of that other stuff, but they would take a lot of lumps.
When Xavier McKinney says we need to get our stuff together for Aaron Rodgers, I'm taking that in terms of playing a quarterback with accuracy and not athleticism. In that sense, because he's not going to hurt you like Justin Fields hurts you with his feet getting out of there. You can grab onto him, get him down. But you see a couple throws that have been Baker didn't make, Ryan Tannehill didn't make, even Cooper Rush didn't make in that sense. Aaron Rodgers dropping that in the bucket, let's be honest. So to go back and give my praise to Fabian Moreau, earlier in the game, he came off, it was cover three. They ran that little wheel route. Xavier was under the wheel route. He passed the post off to the deep third safety, came off, made the play. Another one later on in the game, he came. He didn't get his head back, but you saw him. You waited till the receiver's hands went up, and then he went and played the ball and played the hands. Times you were talking about the confidence. That's just something that confidence comes in being able to do that within practice, being able to do that in the individual part of practice in Indy and going into practice one-on-one, seven-on-sevens or whatever, and working that technique and then getting out to the game. You're seeing guys who, again, the Tay Crowders, the other Williams, like I'm sitting there like, who is this Williams? Leonard Williams, I don't see no hair. He cut his hair. Like, who is this dude? You're seeing guys who normally you wouldn't play with on Madden, you know, like you wouldn't play with them, but they're making plays within this defense. So you got to credit, I'm crediting Wink Martindale, I'm crediting this defense, their captains, for playing as a unit, and you're seeing it. And I think they have confidence. going in against a Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, they're going to get a heavy dose of run, too. That's the show for next week. But the Packers can run the football, too. The one pass that Adoree Jackson gave up to Justin Fields, I mean, that was an absolute dime.
The coverage was good. The coverage was good.
But that's what you're going to get against an Aaron Rodgers type team. You have to break up some of those plays, because I saw it this afternoon in the late game day window. He's doing the same stuff. Now, the receivers aren't as good as what he's had, but they're getting better every week. And obviously, the Patriots took him down to the wire, but it'll be a test. But first and foremost, these injuries are going to – they're going to pose some problems for this team.
Oh, big time. I mean, Julian Love plays every snap. You know what I mean? I don't know where you replace him. He plays every snap. You know, and the quarterbacks, you know, I mean, the quarterbacks are the quarterbacks. You know, look, now we've seen guys, you know, Daniel Jones had a concussion. Remember the one where he got up and kind of was really
– He played a week later.
He played the next week. So maybe Tyrod Kent, you know, every concussion's different. I don't know if the feel of the league right now with concussions after Tua, you know, I don't think the Giants will say we're going to be more careful now. The Giants are going to say we're always careful. But maybe just the whole tone of the league, they're going to try to, you know, err on the side of not playing him. But he'll have to go through the concussion and protocol. And, you know, it's too bad because, you know, I think we'd like to see Tyrod Taylor play a game. You know, no one wants Daniel Jones to be hurt. But what is everyone saying? Well, this is the best backup they've had in so many years. And it would be interesting to see Tyrod play a whole game. We'll see. Maybe he can. You know, we'll see.
Another thing, too, Paul, on that, it'll be interesting to see what the protocols are now. Because they said they were going to change them like over the weekend and through the early part of this week. Like, what do they look like anymore? It might be
a lot
automatic.
Of that, though, wasn't a lot like with the gross motor skills that if that happens, you know, you have to come out of the game. That didn't happen with Tyrod, but he got hit and ran right off the
him move pretty well. He ran back into the locker room, but he did lose consciousness. You saw it a millisecond when he went like this. He did lose consciousness. So I don't know how many he's had in his career. We'll find out more this week, but hopefully that's just the first one. And then maybe he has a chance to play, but we'll see.
Forget the league. Remember Brian Daboll, when talking about Tua, got really emotional. So you can't get emotional when talking about one player and then one of your own players goes down and suffers a concussion and you throw him back.
Well, he coached Tua at Bama, right?
Yeah. He was one of the assistants on that staff.
The offensive coordinator.
Offensive coordinator. So he seems like one of those guys who treats his players like the brother, the homie type thing. But at the same time, I'm still your coach. You know, we still have that line crossed. He cares about his players in that sense.
So. But the thing is, the protocol is supposed to take that out of it, you know, not emotion, not he's my guy, or I'm going to protect him. The protocol. See, that's why I don't understand with this whole Tua thing. Weren't we under the impression that these concussion protocols were really buttoned up? They have an independent neurologist. They have a spotter, that it's supposed to be, you know, we're supposed to get that macho out of the game. I'm going to stay in. And so Tyrod will go through the protocols. And if he doesn't A, B, C, D, however many things he's got to pass, if he has a roadblock, he doesn't play.
Paul, the players, and Brandon can tell you this, have too much say-so in those protocols. Okay. That's the problem.
Yeah.
That's the problem. No, it's reality. That's the problem. It's been
in
talked
what
about.
Way? You mean in they want to play?
I'll give you exactly that. That's one piece of it. But I can tell you, like, when you do your baseline test, okay, you go in there and they basically, they give you a little like tablet, right? Or whatever. It's like on an iPad. And you literally, on your time, go in there and just sit there and answer questions. And you tank it.
Yeah.
You automatically tank it. No one's looking over your shoulder to see if you're screwing around. No one knows if you're screwing around. It's your test. Mm-hmm. It's personal. And everybody tanks it. And I would say everybody tanks it, including the kicker.
Yeah.
Everybody tanks it. That's kind of the word around
the
locker room.
So
when you do get dinged, and you go back in there after you get dinged after a game like this, like Daniel did, or I'm sorry, Tyrod Taylor did, he's going to go in there and he's going to score better than he did originally. And that's the baseline. But that's why I'm saying the protocols are going to change, because the league knows that now. They know that players tanked it. They know that players are obviously their worst enemy. So again, that's why I think Tyrod Taylor may actually have to miss a game. Yeah. I don't know what they're going to say.
Yeah, it's like it's at the baseline. I like it. I liken that baseline to the SATs. Just go in and answer C. Just, you know, or no, a Scantron test. Just go answer C. But again, even him flying over to a London, you, when you have a concussion, you don't want to fly. You don't want that kid to fly back. I remember my my second concussion in Canada. I applied so much pressure to our training staff, yelling, screaming, cussing, let me back in. Let me be London. Like you're knocked out. You're in Regina, Saskatchewan. I didn't know where I was in that sense, but the competitor in you, you feel weak. You feel like less of a man, less of an athlete. Anytime you got to get carted off the field, you can't get, people have to help you off the field, or if it's something where you have to remove yourself.
That's the problem with it, Brandon. They need to take that stereotype away.
Yeah.
When you're, and I loved Matt Hasselbeck said this on ESPN show today. He said, we need to stop calling it a concussion and call it a brain injury, because that's what it is. Yeah. Concussion sounds like it's not a big deal. When you say it is a brain injury, it adds a little bit more credence and importance to it, because that's exactly what it is. And I think that's the best way I've heard it laid out.
Right. Because if a guy goes out and you say, what happened? He's got a knee. Nobody says, go out and play with a knee. Right. You can't play with a knee. So, yeah, maybe if they say brain.
Brain. Say, well, I like that brain. More. I think people should attach the significance to it, because there's an element of, you know, with Tua, that it'd be hard for me as his father to watch my son go play again the rest of the season. It would be, after seeing that, and even him and his family and his wife, I think he just recently got married. That's tough, man. Your long-term health, this game is over in a flash, and you just want to see him live a healthy life. Obviously, money's one thing. He's made a bunch of it already, but you just don't want to see anything like that again. That was nasty.
All right, time to give out the game balls. Who goes
first?
Man, listen,
I'll go first, and I'm going to give mine to Tate Crowder.
Yeah.
Tate Crowder defensively was a machine. He gets a lot of flack from Giants Nation. He balled. No one can take that away from him today. He had a great game. He played well. He led. He plays with a smile. I love his energy. I love that he plays with a lot of energy. I'm giving my game ball to Tate Crowder.
Well, what are we doing with Saquon? Are we giving him a game ball?
I was going to let you give him his flowers, Paul.
Brandon, you want to give one to Saquon?
Did you get an autograph post game too? I mean, you said he was chumming it up after the game with you.
Look, the guy,
he's a stud. What?
He has come from a low, remember? When people were criticizing him, he would show up in those Zooms or other things, and he'd be – no, but I'm just saying he was wearing a hoodie, right?
Yeah.
And he was talking really quiet. And it was like, boy, Saquon is – he's not in a good spot. He wasn't in a good spot. It wasn't that he wasn't a good guy or a good team player.
I don't know many players that were on that team.
Right? He couldn't understand it. I can't do what I want to do. I'm not healthy. Nobody's blocking for me. You know, is this going to go completely south on me? So I'll give it to Saquon, not just because – he was really good, because he's come far. You know, he really has. You know, it's amazing. I was writing today, and then I said, I wanted to put, you know, I wanted to put the age, you know, let's not forget he's a running back, even though he played quarterback, and it's like 25. And I stopped for a second. I said, 25. He's not going to be 26 till the end, after the season in February.
That's, I mean, crazy.
That is so right. 25 is incredible.
He's played a lot of football, and he's had a lot of ups, a lot of downs, but you see that sparkle back in his eye when he's interviewing. It's visual to us. We know what he looks like because we follow this team. But you can see the eyes are the, what do they say, the window to the soul.
Yeah.
And he looks, you can tell he's happy, and I'm happy
for him.
And
he's better now than he was as a rookie. I don't think there's any question about it. And he's better. He's smarter. He sees it better. He's more patient, and he's just a better player. It's you know, it's a nice thing to see. I mean, who doesn't like Saquon, right? I mean,
and the biggest thing is that they're winning games. Like, you could come back and have this individual success you're having, but he doesn't seem like that type of guy. He's never come off as someone who cares about individual accolades. The fact that they're winning these games because of him, I think that means a lot to him. It means even more. So I'm giving my game ball to the Giants offensive line. Run game. You got to open up the holes for him. They were putting body on body for him. He's a couple times he got into the second level, almost into the third level. You want to see a receiver hold that block a little bit longer, but then you just don't want the holding. So if it's like, all right, if you got to let it go, let it go. But the Giants offensive line, what, one sack? Two, I think one, two. I think Daniel Jones took one sack. T2 took maybe one sack. They held up. They gave them an opportunity. They gave Daniel Jones a chance to look down the field. He didn't throw it because guys weren't open. But I think from going from Monday night to Sunday, the Giants offensive line showed improvement. And I got to tip my hat to them for that. So as a receiver, I'm like, you know, we gotta do better for you guys since you're giving us that time and all. But at the end of the day, you're going to run the ball 44 times a game or however many times they ran. Like you said, Army versus Navy. If you're going to do that in the NFL, offensive line has to be there. The head coach, offensive coordinator has to have confidence in you. All right, we gave out our game balls. Again, the Giants are 3-1, first time since 2011. They head to London to play the Green Bay Packers. But before we end it, we got to throw it to LT to close us out.
And that says cheerio to episode 112 of the Blue Rush Podcast, our New York Giants podcast from the New York Post. Thanks to Andrew Harris for producing the show. He was solo today. New episodes of Blue Rush drop Monday mornings and Thursdays, folks. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever the hell you get your bloody podcasts. For Paulie Schwartz and Brandon London, I'm the Scotsman Lawrence Tynes. We will return to your eardrums on Thursday to preview the Giants matchup with the Packers at Twickenham Stadium over in London. I've switched languages. Fish and chips for everyone. Thanks for listening to Blue Rush, and we will see you next time. Okay.